Yeah, on a Monday. And a hell of a good reason for it, too.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy, right, Rex? Yeah. All right, so we go into hour number two. What's up? I'm in Southern California. I'm Jim Rome in the Quicken Loan Studio. It's applied simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. The entire first hour was spent talking about the Masters. More on that coming up. Meantime, telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Hit me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. We're going to talk to Ice Cube, rapper, actor, mogul. We are efforting him. That's coming up momentarily. Coming up later on this hour, a conversation with an NFL draft prospect, Marcus Allen. Marcus Allen actually is going to be in our studio in New York. So we're going to get kind of clever with it, a little tricky with it. That's coming up. Meantime, if you want to hit something from the Masters, go ahead and do so. If you want to change up and talk about something else, we can do that too. Also from the Masters, we've talked about Patrick Reed. We've talked about Rory McIlroy. The thing we have not talked about yet, Tiger Woods. And what happened to him over the weekend? Maybe you want to talk about Shohei Ohtani. Nothing lives up to the hype. This guy is smashing it. He's now made two starts, two great starts. He had a perfect game working into the seventh inning last night. He's made two great starts, and in and around all of that, three home runs already. So he didn't have that great spring training. In fact, he had kind of a poor spring training, and everybody was saying, man, that's what you get for comparing a guy like that to Babe Ruth. It's a joke. There's no way that guy could ever be that good. And then he comes out, and look at what he's done so far. I mentioned also in hour number one, I was not at that game yesterday, but I was in the stadium the night before. Man, there's a buzz. There's a difference to the way it feels inside that stadium. We've had season tickets to the Angels in the past. Multiple years of season tickets. I've never seen that buzz. And the stadium was sold out yesterday. I was there the night before, and there was a definite buzz to it. But all of that still ahead, and your telephone calls. But as promised, we're joined right now by a mogul, an award-winning actor, a director, a producer, a music icon, a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. His films include Boys in the Hood, Friday, Three Kings, Barbershop, 21 Jump Street. He is the co-founder of the Big Three League. Big Three Player Draft takes place on Thursday. Big Three season tips off on June 22nd in Houston. Ice Cube is my guest. Cube, it's good to have you back. How are you?
What's up, Jim? How you doing, man?
Good, man. How about you? How are things?
Oh, man, I'm great. Everything is going good.
Listen, you've got your Big Three draft coming up on Wednesday. Actually, the combine is Wednesday. The draft is Thursday. So how pumped are you to get another season underway?
I'm excited, man. You know, that's the best part is seeing these guys go at it. I mean, we got to do all this stuff behind the scenes to get ready for the season, but just to see guys go at it, you know, as a fan, that's really what I'm in it for, is to see dudes who still got the desire to give them a platform and for us to be able to enjoy it.
All right, so, Keith, what about the draft itself? I mean, you're going to run your draft a little bit differently than the way most leagues handle their drafts. How does it work for the defending champs trilogy and then for every other team?
Well, you know, just starting off, we started with five players last year, but we're adding a sixth player. We let the captains of the teams pick another co-captain. So each team has two co-captains now. So they have to get all the other players from the draft pool, but not with the champions. The champions, they have to defend. They cannot draft. They cannot make any moves like that. Our runner-ups, they got two options. The first option, they can send everybody back to the draft pool, or they can keep their whole team intact, but they got to send one player back. Now, if you finish third all the way to eighth, all your draft players go back to the pool, and you got to redraft. So you may have new players or maybe other players you need, but the whole thing is to knock off the champs. You got to put a team together that's going to be able to go after trilogy. So it's fun. It allows new players to always join the draft pool. And, you know, to keep it churning, to keep it interesting. You don't want to see the exact same teams you saw last year. So it's a cool way to keep it fresh.
Ice Cube joining us, and it's going to be a big week for that league. You know, Cube, you look at earlier this year, the Celtics signed Xavier Silas to a 10-day contract. He was playing in your league for the Ball Hogs, and now he makes the NBA. Look, I know it's the Celtics. I know you're a Lakers guy, obviously, but how proud were you to have somebody go from your league to the NBA?
Oh, that's big. Oh, man. You know, that's huge because people think or thought this was considered, I guess, the old guys league, but no, these are guys, some guys feel like they've been, like, rejected from the NBA too early. Or, you know, only a few guys get to go out like Kobe, where you just, you know, sign your own ticket how you want to end your career. Most guys don't even know they retired. They're just out. So guys have a hunger to still show that they got it. Josh Powell, he got invited to the Nuggets training camp. So that was the first inkling of, yo, you can use the big three to actually get back in the NBA. And so to have Xavier Silas get that 10-day contract with the Celtics is big for our league on credibility. It's big for players to look at us as a viable option like they look at Europe or Asia. So, you know, it's really a milestone in our leagues. You know, development.
Yeah, Cube, also you made the point that you don't want the teams to look exactly the same. You don't want the league to look the same. You don't want the players to look the same. So you've added guys like Baron Davis, Amari Stoudemire, Meta World Peace, and Greg Oden. How big of a step do you think that's going to be for the league this year?
Huge. You know, it's a humongous step because a lot of players, you know, sat on the sideline last year and watched, you know, and saw – you know, is this league for real? Is it legit? Is it done first class? And when they realized it was, you know, they wanted to be a part of it, and that's what it's all about. You know, we're going to be here. So whenever you get the itch, you know, all the players out there that's looking at us, whenever you get the itch, we're here. And come, you know, come to our combine, show what you got or what you still got, and hopefully you make a squad, you know, and we expect to expand next year and add more teams in success. You know, that's our plan.
Combine's Wednesday. The draft is Thursday. Q, what about a guy like, say, Paul Pierce? Is that a guy that you could see committing to it and doing it?
Man, we've been recruiting Paul Pierce heavy. But, you know, I'm not sure. I don't think he's going to play. You know, he's probably having too much fun with that cushy job he got right now. So, but look, we'll be here next year if you get the itch. And that's the thing about the big three. We're always here. You know, our oldest player was Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. Sorry about that. And he is 48 years old, and he was still serving him 20. He was still, you know, getting buckets, doing his thing. You know, with guys out there 30, you know, 5, 36 years old. So, you know, our league is going to get younger this year. You know, we expect it to be an average age of 33, and you have to be 30 to be in our league. So it's pretty cool, you know, to still be recruiting dudes and going after them, but – you know, we wanted to get Paul. I don't know if we're going to get him this year.
Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, Cube, is a guy that I had on the show within the past year. Always one of my favorites. Glad to see him still out there balling. Hey, before I let you go, let me ask you about the Lakers. They're going to end the season with their most wins since 2013. How are you feeling about the direction of that team right now? Does it feel to you like they've turned the corner?
No. It feels like they got work to do. You know, they are in a nice spot. I think we got good pieces. But, you know, I don't want people to feel like, yo, we've, you know, turned some kind of corner. You know what I mean? It's really, you know, turning the corner is making the playoffs. So until then, we're still building to what we need to be. So that's kind of how I look at it. But I love our progress, and I love our new players like Kuzma, and I love Ball. I love Brandon Ingram. All these guys are great. And man, Randall is a beast. You know, I've always known that kid was going to turn into what he is. So it's really coming together well. I'm happy with the leadership over there. always thought Jenny Buss was the person who should be running the whole thing over there. And so it's going in the right direction. I think her, you know, I think the Laker nation is feeling good. You know, we feel good. You know, over the last few seasons, Laker Nation was feeling a little shaky. So here we go.
Laker Nation would feel great if they can convince LeBron to come here as well. Keep, let me ask you about LeBron before I let you go. He took some heat a few weeks back after he expressed some thoughts on social and political issues. So what's your reaction when you hear somebody suggest that basketball players with views on social and political issues should, quote, just shut up and dribble?
It's ridiculous, you know. I mean, is the guy that's out there driving the truck, you expect him to just shut up and drive the truck? Or the guy that's out there delivering the mail, you expect him to shut up and just deliver the mail? So, come on, you know, this is the freedom of our country. I don't understand why we are starting to question these freedoms that we've enjoyed for generations, some of us. But so to speak, the freedom of speech has been something that we all want. Nobody want to be stifled. Nobody want to be, you know, put into a box. Nobody wants, you know, people to tell them to shut up. And you don't want it, so why would you want LeBron to do it? Or why would you want that on LeBron? So you just really got to really go back to the golden rule, man. You know, treat each other like you want to be treated. Straight up.
Ice Cube, my guest. Cube, last thought. As many people know, your son played you in Straight Outta Compton. He had another movie, Den of Thieves, come out earlier this year. He's in the new Godzilla movie coming out next summer. As a father, how much pride is there for you when you see him on screen and you see the career that he is developing and building for himself?
I mean, y'all lucky I ain't around here like LeVar Ball, yelling and acting a fool. You know, because I'm proud. You know, I'm a proud pop. You want, you know, any father would like their son to follow up in their footsteps if they're doing something positive. But so, you know, this is a great business. He's second generation Hollywood. You know, I've opened the door for him. So it's really good that he's, you know, stepping into it and you know, really having his own fans and his own, you know, persona. He's his own star, which is great. Because as a father, you just want your kids to be able to, you know, take care of themselves. And that's a great thing that he could do that.
Ice Cube, co-founder of Big 3 League. And again, the player draft takes place on Thursday. The Big 3 season tips off on June 22nd in Houston. Cube, it's great to have you back. Always good to wrap with you, man. Thanks so much.
Hey, man, check us out. Man, we're going to be live on FS1 with the Big 3 draft this Thursday, 5 o'clock p.m. Check it out. See who get picked, and damn, see who don't get picked. We got 60 players going after 19 spots. It's going to be drama. It's going to be fun. Check us out.
You got it, Cube. Great talking to you. Thanks so much.
Jim.
All right, Matt.
Appreciate
be good.
You, man.
Appreciate you, too, Cube. It's going to be drama, and it's going to be fun. Find out who gets drafted and find out who does not get drafted. Ice Cube joining us. Let's see here. Subject of the first email through is, did Cube just say Randall is a beast? Yeah! Not that Randall. He wasn't talking about that Randall. He was talking about Julius Randall. Rube in Richmond. The name fits. Rube. All right, open phones right now. Marcus Allen is going to join me at 40 past. Not that Marcus Allen, Penn State's Marcus Allen, and he will be in the studio in New York City. So an open segment coming up next. Go ahead, give us a call right now. Welcome back. I am Jim Rome. Nice to have you here. So we spent hour number one talking about the Masters and just had a little bit of fun with Ice Cube talking about his league. And I want to read this email, and I've received a number of emails like this, and I certainly wanted to get to this topic, and it's critical that we get to the topic, and I was going to much sooner than later. But I want to read this email because it sets up this topic, and there are so many emails like this. Rome, small town guy in Alberta, Canada, first time ever emailing or contacting. I don't have the talk game, but listen to you for years. Love the show. Just wanted a small shout out to the Humboldt Broncos hockey team that was devastated on the weekend with a bus crash killing 15 people, injuring countless more on the way to a playoff game. Tragic, even for these kids and community, ages 16 to 20 were the kids in the bus. Thank you for giving us a place to go to take our minds off it for a brief moment. Keep up the better than great work. Signed, Small Town Canada. And we have a number of stations and listeners in Canada, and this is not just a Canadian thing. This is one of the most horrific things I've ever seen or heard. The world of sports continues to be in shock and in mourning over what happened over the weekend in Saskatchewan. A bus with a junior hockey team, the Humboldt Broncos, and a semi-truck collided, taking the lives of 15 people, including 10 players, as they traveled to a playoff game on Friday night. I mean, an absolutely horrifying and terrifying incident. Players from the ages of 16 to 21, the pride of a small farming town roughly 60 miles from Saskatoon. I mean, it's already one of the worst things that could ever happen, but it hits even closer to home for people around the NHL because almost everybody in the NHL has been on that bus. They've taken that ride. You know, there's so many times where I talk about the athletes that I interview, and you never want to paint any group of people or any walk of life, of course, with any one broad stroke. But I've often said some of my favorite athletes, among the best guys to talk to, are hockey players, NHL players. And it's because a lot of them grew up like this, in these small towns, in these small communities, where they have this blue-collar work ethic and they have an amazing perspective. And they've been on that bus and they've ridden that bus so many times, long bus rides. And guys in the NHL, almost all the players in the NHL have lived that life. They know that life. And that's why it hits even closer to home there. This is a horrific thing to happen to anybody at any time. But guys in the NHL know, and nobody understands that better, for instance, than Toronto Maple Leaf coach Mike Babcock, who's a native of that area.
Good morning. First thing, obviously, being from Saskatchewan, I prepared to talk to you too, so I'd not be emotional. But you know, I grew up there, right there in Saskatoon. It's just down the road. My buddy's kid played there. Yeah, I talked to him. He's farming Saskatoon last night, and as the calls were coming in, and they're talking about all the kids they've coached over the years that are playing on that team. I can't even imagine being the parent, or the wife, or the kids at home, going through something like this. So, you know, our hearts. The hockey world's an unbelievable world. You can't make up for loss. You just can't. It's got to rip the heart out of your chest. We pray for those families and thinking about them. And I don't know what else to say, but, you know, a horrific, horrific accident. A tough day.
Toronto Maple Leafs head coach Mike Babcock on Saturday morning. And I would echo that, too. What can you possibly say? Just absolutely devastating, horrific. I mean, virtually every junior player or minor leaguer has boarded that bus, including Edmonton star Connor McDavid. He said, quote, every single person, everyone in hockey, that's exactly why it hits home, because everyone has been on that bus before. It's terrifying to see that happen. It's unthinkable, end quote. It is unthinkable, because every year, sons leave their homes to chase that dream. I know some who have. I mean, I'm a Los Angeles native. I live in Southern California. I know kids. I know kids. We have friends who have kids who have done that. I know so many of you listening right now know kids like that, have families like that, no matter where you live. And that dream just turned into the worst nightmare imaginable. those families, friends of those families that lost loved ones will never be the same. Obviously, maybe, I mean, maybe possibly in time, you somehow learn to live with that. Maybe, maybe somehow in time, you learn to somehow get beyond it, but you never get over that. You never get over losing a loved one like that, especially at that age. And the response has been incredible. A GoFundMe page was set up. It's already raised nearly $5.5 million. As of last night, more than 60,000 people from nearly 60 countries around the world had pledged their money to help those families and this town move forward. So the hockey world is coming together on social media as well. People all across the globe are leaving a hockey stick outside on the front porch to honor those who are now gone. It's just a devastating story. Devastating story that people around the world are showing up to demonstrate unbelievable support and empathy for. If you want to share your thoughts, you can do so either by phone or Twitter or via email. But I think the person who sent me that email and signed it, Small Town Canada, I know there are a lot of people listening to this show that are just like this person, living in a small town, maybe living not far from that area. Maybe even know somebody somehow connected with that. So I wanted to share my thoughts and prayers, and saying that we are thinking about you. That is a horrific, horrific accident. Just terrible. If you want to talk about that, we can. If you're in Canada, or even if you're not, telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Because as I mentioned, I mean, we have kids. We have kids who play sports. We have kids who play hockey. Even my son, Jake, played hockey for a little while here in Southern California. We put our kids on those buses. They play travel sports. They go. They're kids living that dream. Very, very sad. All right, when we come back, we can talk more about that. I do want to talk more about the Masters. Shohei Ohtani putting on a show here in Southern California. And much, much more. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Bottom of the hour means it's time for a sports.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I am Jim Rome, and I am live in Southern California. And if you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you're going to see my next guest, who is also live, but in a studio in New York City. So we've got him on TV, too. If not, you've got the audio. He is a former Penn State safety, defensive MVP at the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl. First team All-Big Ten player, sixth Nittany Lion to reach over 300 tackles in his career. You've got the 2018 NFL Draft coming up, of course, April 26th through the 28th in Arlington, Texas. We are joined by former Penn State safety Marcus Allen. Marcus, great to have you on the program. How are you?
Great to be here. Feeling good.
Well, it's good to have you here. I'm glad. First, let me get your thoughts on the process. I mean, now you're about 2 weeks away from the NFL Draft. How are you feeling at this point? Are you still enjoying the process? Or at this point, are you like, man, I got to find out where I'm going to live and where I'm going to work and get this thing started?
I'm not too worried on where I'm going to live or, like, you know, when I'm going to get picked. It's more like, you know, just living my life, you know, having fun with the process, taking it all in, because this is only one time. You only get this one time. And, you know, just training my butt off. You know, I've been training hard.
All right, now you know how the draft evaluation process works, right? People are going to pick your game apart, and they're going to look for any flaw they can find. So what's it like to be in the middle of this? I mean, do you understand that it's all part of the process and it's not personal, or do you see that criticism and do you take it and use it as motivation?
Oh, I definitely take it as motivation, you know, especially, like, the criticism, like, on, like, social media or anything like that. Like, I take it as motivation. Like, I stated before that, like, I made a bad play once, and I got heat for it. Oh, my God. Like, on social media, it went crazy. And, like, you know, people were saying crazy stuff to me. Like, you know, I just screenshotted it, you know, put it all in my little album that I have in my photo album, put, you know, motivation. Folder. So I just look at things like that, and it just gets me pumped and just gets me motivated, because I know never could get too high on your success and never get too low.
I'll tell you what, something's really interesting to me is that you make one play, you have one play that's maybe not a great play. It happens to everybody. You go to your phone, you see it on social media, and there's just hate. I mean, hate from people that will never know you or ever meet you. But you're telling me this story, but you're not angry, and you've got a smile on your face, which is not surprising to me because one of the things that keeps coming up from all the evaluators is how fearless and aggressive you are on the field, but how positive and upbeat you are off the field. So where does that come from? Is that your parents or something else, that mindset, that positive, upbeat mindset that you always have?
I think my positive mindset that I got, like, it just comes from, like, my family. You know, my family's full of, like, positive people. My father, my mother's sisters, my brother. Like, we all just a big, happy family. So, like, we just hang around each other. We love each other, especially, like, around Christmas. You know what I'm saying? Like, we do everything together. So far as the positive outlook of things, and with me, that's where it comes from. But, you know, my aggression on the field, you just got to be born with that. You know, I could say that I was born with that, and, like, I'm definitely aggressive. I have that mindset to, like, destroy anything that's, like, moving, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's just how I am. So I don't know. I can't really explain it. You got to be born with it.
I get that. Marcus Allen joining us. I mean, you've got that mindset. Like, you're looking to destroy anything that moves. So let me ask you about practice. Let me ask you about Saquon Barkley. You've seen him up close now for quite some time. First of all, what kind of advice would you give other NFL safeties when it comes to tackling him?
And like I said, shoot your shot. You know what I'm saying? Don't try to break down. Don't try to do all that. Because, like, he can do it all, man. I'm telling you. He could jump over you, he can make you miss, and he could, like, truck you. So it's just like, shoot your shot, go full speed. Like, that's it.
Hey, listen, you've told the story. You've told the story about what happened the first time the two of you went up against each other in practice. What happened the first time, and then what happened the second time?
All right, let me tell you the whole story.
Yeah, tell me the whole story, man.
All right, the first time we was in, like, what, spring ball, I believe. It was the same practice, because, like, Saquon ain't really, like, go live like that. I was the only one, like, tackling him. So, like, it was like he kept breaking through. So the first time he broke through, it was me and him. He could have did me dirty. He could have, like, jumped over because I went low, but he looked out.
Right.
So he just did a nice move, and he scored, because it was all goal line. This was all goal line. He scored. So then the second time, it was like he broke through, and, like, the end zone's right here, and I was coming at an angle, like the power line right there, and he was coming. It's like head up, straight head up, just a big collision, boom. And, like, he ain't get it. I won that one. But, like, he felt that. He was on the ground. He was like, man, you hit hard. Like, you know what I'm saying? He felt it. I felt it, too, in my neck. I ain't gonna lie.
All right, so bottom line, he didn't get in. That's the bottom line. He did not get in. Who got the worst of that?
Right.
Who got the worst of that? When you guys both got up, who got the worst of that collision?
He definitely did. Yeah.
Marcus Allen joining us. I'm glad you told me the whole story. That's great. Listen, how'd you end up at Penn State? And I bring this up because when you look at the recruiting process, when you started making a name for yourself in Maryland, you were getting a lot of interest from a lot of programs, and the thought was Pittsburgh might be where you end up because your godfather, Curtis Martin, went there. So take me back. What were your initial thoughts about Penn State when they started to recruit you?
You know, I really wasn't into Penn State like that. You know, I didn't really know that much about it because, you know, I love Pitt. I love Maryland. I was just going through the recruiting process. But once Penn State came and, like, Coach Larry Johnson was, like, recruiting me, he's such a genuine person at heart that it was like, you know, I could really see myself, like, you know, being around this type of environment. Like, especially when I went to Penn State. When you go to Penn State and you walk through them gates into Beaver Stadium, you're sold. You know what I mean? Like, nothing beats that stadium. And then an environment with the people, especially the football players that were there, you know, I felt like I grew like a relationship with them already. And I was a recruit. I was in, like, what, 11th grade, you know? So, like, it felt like it was the right decision to make, and especially like the education, and then it's a win-win because you got great education and great football, so it was a no-brainer.
Well, it's a no-brainer, but at the same time, when you went there and when you were looking at that program was not at that time where it is right now. In fact, if there's one moment that the fans point to in the turnaround, it's your block kick against Ohio State. You got to take me back. What do you remember about that play, and how do you feel now when people say that was the moment that Penn State football was officially back?
I mean, that's deep. You know what I mean? Like, that's definitely deep. But, yeah, that's a legendary play right there. And, you know, when it first happened, you know, I wasn't thinking nothing like that. I wasn't thinking like, oh, man, it's going to go down in history books. You know, I'm just thinking, hey, we got to beat Ohio State, you know? And I knew we were going to get back on the field. But to tell you about the story, in the beginning, like, it was like in the first half, like, I came through and did the exact same thing, but I missed the block the first time. And then the second time in half, like, we went in halftime, and I talked to Coach Huff and Coach Spence. Coach Huff was telling me, like gave me all the corrections and, like, told me what I need to do, you know, to align it right, and, like, if they on this hash, to do it this way, and you know what I mean, like that. And then, you know, you don't really get second chances in football like that, but, you know, God gave us a second chance, and, you know, I blocked it. It worked out, and then it was the crowd, you know, it was just crazy.
Mark Salen joining us, getting ready for the NFL draft and talking about his time at Penn State. So let me ask you this. You play football at Penn State, and that means you're part of an amazing tradition, a proud tradition. But on top of that, you are a captain at Penn State. So what did that honor mean to you, and then how would you describe your leadership style?
You know, that's a blessing. You know, to be a captain at Penn State University, like, you're talked about with, like, all the legends and all the people that were captains and stuff before you. So, I mean, that meant a lot to me, and that meant, like, it made me look at it like my teammates really look at me like they respect me and everything. So, like, when I was voted captain, you know, I was very happy, and I knew what it came with. I knew that I had to, you know, mature even more than I already did. And, like, just lead by example. Like, that's how I lead. I don't really lead by, like, getting in your face and telling you what to do, like, rah, rah, rah stuff. That's not me. That's not my motto. But what I am going to do, I'm going to show you, you know. And the way I show it, it's like you're going to want to follow because I'm doing it the right way, you know, on and off the field. So that's just me.
Talking to Marcus Salen, you know, a lot of guys, Marcus will tell you, yeah, you know, it's a once in a lifetime, so I'm just going to enjoy the process. And it sounds like it's the thing you're supposed to say, but I'm looking at what you've done since you started to get ready for the draft, so I believe you when you say it. As an example, you were part of a group from Penn State who dominated at the combine and were the talk of Indianapolis. What is it about that strength and conditioning program at Penn State that makes it special? And then how did it feel to show up and dominate like that as a group?
Oh, it felt really good, like, because we were pushing each other, you know, like we always do, like, winter workouts, the weight room, practice, extra work, anything we do at Penn State, we push each other. So I remember when Troy Apke was at the, you know, lining up at 40, I was like, hey, you know, I'm talking to him, like, getting him hype, you know, like, I'm here for you, bro, like, that, you know, do your thing, you know what I mean? Like, think about your family, like, that's how we motivate each other. So when we do that for each other, it's like we're a family. So that's how we do it with any and everything we do. So
yeah. Fine with that. It's culture, right? It's a family. It's a culture. It's got to start with the head man. What was James Franklin like to play for?
Oh, it was fun. You know, Coach Franklin, you know, he's always hype. He's always, like, excited, a lot of energy. You might as well call him an energy bunny. You know, Energizer Bunny.
Right.
Because, I mean, that matches me. You know what I mean? Because I'm an Energizer Bunny. Because, like, I got a lot of energy. And then you could just get, like, feel his vibe, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's gonna like, make you want to, like, work out. Like, say you got a bad day today, he's going to make you want to work out and make you, like, want to have fun at practice or something like that. Like, it's contagious, you know? His energy is very contagious.
Mark, someone said the same thing about you, my man. You not only have a lot of energy, you have a lot of positive energy. You've got a great resume. The draft is coming up on April 26th through the 28th. Not only did we get you on TV, on the show, but we got you on TV, and you showed up in a big way. Mark, it's great to have you. Great to rap with you. Do not big league me once you get to the NFL, because you know I'll be looking for you as soon as you do find a place to play and live and work. Great to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you, man. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you, Marcus. You did great. You nailed that. Really nice to have you on the show. He's a former Penn State safety, and that's a really good player with a great attitude and a great vibe and a great energy and a ton of it and charisma. It's the kind of guy you want on your team. All about all the right things. 1-800-636-8686. Those are kind of tricky. You take a young guy and you have him do an interview, and you put him in a studio, and he can't see me, but he can hear me. Little things like that that you don't really understand that are kind of a high degree of difficulty if you're a young guy coming up. And he just nailed that. He owned it. So I'm going to be really curious to see where he goes. Had a really nice college career. All right, so now we set up for hour number three, which is open. So do whatever you want with it. Go anywhere you want with this next hour. 1-800-636-8686. Toll free. I mentioned that over the weekend, I started to look at the calendar. I took a deep dive on the calendar to see what day makes the most sense for the Smack Off. It's starting to feel like mid to late July. That's now the time for you to start thinking about that. It's April 9th. The Smack Off is always a summer event. And this year, it's going to be different than ever before because there is a TV component, a TV simulcast. We're on CBS Sports Network. So if you think you're good enough, you need the invite. You need to start dialing. In fact, get it done. Get it out of the way. Get your invite or your golden ticket. Get it done, and then you'll be set for the event when it happens. We've already had Alan Shipnook. We had Ice Cube. We had Marcus Allen. If you missed any of that, we've got the Daily Jungle podcast where you can hear back the best of the best. In terms of the Jim Rome podcast, we had Draymond Green on Friday. That's still up. Former NHLer Clint Malarchik is going to be on tomorrow. So we'll talk some more hockey. Don't go anywhere. Third hour straight ahead. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Phone lines are open. Take advantage now.